Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
TheCustomer.com. That's ageofthecustomer.com. This is Jim Blasingame, and I wrote this book for you.
Yeah.
Stand by. Welcome back, 17 to the hour. Thanks for staying with me. I'm Jim Blasingame. I am a small business advocate, and my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com. The one for my book, The Age of the Customer, is ageofthecustomer.com. Having a great visit with our good friend Cliff Inico, a small business attorney, author of several books, including his newest one. I think his newest one is the crowdfunding book, the crowdfunding handbook, actually, I should say, by Cliff Inico. And the earlier one, the very first one, was Money Hunt. All about growing your business. And Cliff, thanks again for being here.
Cliff,
succeedinginyourbusiness.com, right?
That's it. That's the website.
We're talking about speech in the workplace, especially political speech, and how it can polarize people. And if you got any employees at all, you're going to have a difference of opinion of political speech. Cliff, in the earlier segment, you were telling us about a letter you got from someone who said that he had employees, he had several employees. One of them wouldn't stop talking about politics, and it was offending and polarizing the workplace. Nobody wanted to work with a guy. He was a key employee. What did the employer do? And you pointed out that depending on the state he was in,
Well, there's two things you got to look at. I always try to give them the pathway. First of all, you got to check your state law. A handful of states have laws that protect that prohibit discrimination based on political affiliation, but there's only a handful. And federal law doesn't help you here because under the federal statutes, political affiliation is not a protected category.
Mm-hmm.
Technically, under federal law, you can discriminate.
You're saying that in this case, the state law, because the federal government doesn't cover it, if the state law does cover it, that's the prime law?
Well, that is the prime law if it exists. Now, there's a second thing, though, you got to take into consideration, which is the employee's right to political speech under the First Amendment to the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
So one thing that this employer could do is to haul the guy off to one side and say, look, dude, chill, you know, cut it and cool it a little bit. You know, you're creating waves in the organization. You know, don't get me wrong, you're entitled to your opinion, whatever, but that opens up a whole can of worms, because if he's the wrong kind of guy, he is going to bring a lawsuit, and especially if he's terminated and especially if he's an older employee, he's going to bring a lawsuit saying you discriminated against him for some other reason,
mm-hmm.
you know, that may be valid.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't realize this, but the First Amendment does not give employees the unfettered right to say whatever they want to in the
mm-hmm.
workplace. It doesn't. For the First Amendment political speech protection to apply, there has to be some kind of state action. The First Amendment does not say that you can say anything you want to. It says the government shall not pass any law that infringes political speech.
Right.
So there has to be some kind of government action. So, for example, all the cases that I've seen so far on this issue have to do with public employees,
mm-hmm.
Teachers, deputy sheriffs, university professors.
Whose money comes from some government.
Right. If your company is at all dependent at all on the government for anything, even if you got just one government contract, then this guy may have the right to say what he says.
That's right.
You know, and that's the thing.
It's the nexus rule. If there's any thread back to the government at all, similar, and our some of our contractors listening will recognize that because of the Davis-Bacon laws. Similar.
That's right. It's the same kind of thing, too. And also, too, you got that labor law. I think your previous guest alluded to it, too.
Mm-hmm.
It's called the water cooler statute.
Right.
Employees do have the right to sit around the water and gripe about working conditions.
Mm-hmm.
So if this guy is on the left side of the equation, he's thinking that the employee should unionize or something. That is protected speech under the labor laws. You got to watch out for that.
Right.
Anything about unionization and that kind of stuff and collective activity.
So if you hear them talking about and arguing about the a certain politicians or certain parties' labor law practices,
right.
then they might be that might be protected.
That's right.
That complicates things, doesn't it?
That does complicate things, especially. But let's assume that this guy wasn't talking about that. He's just talking
about... He just doesn't like this particular politician.
Right, or whatever.
Right.
So what can you do? I mean, well, the problem here is not so much the guy's speech. The problem here is the ostracism, the fact that he's being ostracized by his coworkers, and that's what's disrupting things.
But it also, and it's not just ostracization, if he's a problem... For them to ostracize him is disrupting the operation.
That's correct. So what I suggested in my column, at least, is that this employer call a meeting of all his employees. Get everybody in the room. Don't single this one guy out and say, look, just so you know, we're having some trouble. Focus on the disruption and deal with that, saying, look, everybody's got to work together. We're all different people. We all have different views on things, but... We all have to work together, and if we don't, it's something that I have to deal with. Give them everybody a warning, and hopefully, if this guy is the right kind of guy, he'll listen to that and say, "Okay, I better start cooling it now. This is affecting job performance, and I need the money. I need the job."
Could you actually say, as the owner, as the employer, could you actually say, "I don't want to hear any more politics in the office here"?
Okay, that's where you got to be careful, because if you focus on the speech. Then you got to make damn sure that you don't have any, government contracts or anything like that, because that's where employees can raise hell. They can. There's a case out of Virginia last year involving a deputy sheriff. He didn't get along with his boss. So when his boss came up for reelection, this guy liked the boss's opponent on Facebook. Remember this case?
Yeah.
Yeah, and he got fired for that, and it went all the way up to the federal court. Didn't go to the Supreme Court, but just one level below that.
He got his job back, didn't he?
He got his job back. That's exactly right. Yeah. He said that this employer interfered with his political speech.
Before we go to the break here, I want to just stick one thing in here. Folks, 10 years ago, this wouldn't have been a big issue. Because people would discuss politics on a water cooler, and they'd agree to disagree.
Yeah.
Today, it's daggers drawn every time somebody brings something up. Friendships have been lost over this. We got to figure out how to get along.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.